Welcome to the Thank You Rob podcast, episode number
76.
Officially sponsored by
Brims and Tons Clothing.
Get the latest and greatest in hats, shirts, and shoe accessories. Only at brimsandtongues.com. You can check out past episodes of this show at thankyourob.com, where you can also check out my graphic design work, which is mind-blowing and life-altering, known as I Define Design. You can also check out my other podcast called Some People's Kids Podcast. While you're at it, check out this podcast on Fuzz Talk Radio at fuzztalkradio.com. You're welcome to the Thank You Rob podcast. I'm your host, Rob. Rob Schmall, Rob Small, whatever you want to call me. I don't really have any funny thing to say to that, but it's the paperwork came down from the corporate offices of the Thank You Rob podcast. My manager was barking up my tree asking for the paperwork. But it was finally sent down that officially the best summer of your life has begun. And it's upon us. So welcome to the best summer of your life. I really have a good feeling about this. I think a lot of good things are going to happen to you this summer. As long as you keep your head up and stay positive. I bet some crazy shit's gonna happen. I don't know what, but just wait and see. Today, I had Christopher Michael Jensen on the show. He came through, and people like him, I gotta say, I love them because they're just out for positive things to happen in our local scene. You know what I mean? He does some good things, and he's all about unifying this hip-hop scene in the Twin Cities here, and that's important because motherfuckers out there will try to not be so unified and tear it apart. Don't be a dick. How many times do I have to say it? Don't be a dick. I just took a multivitamin, and I'm all jacked up on vitamins of which I don't get in my normal diet. And that's what this podcast has become. Me being a 35-year-old man at this time and bitching about stuff like that. The kids today and me taking multivitamins. And the best damn summer of your life. So, luckily today on the show we talked about Return of the Jedi, Star Wars. And it's awesome because Christopher is actually a big fan of the Star Wars movies. He probably has much more knowledge of them than I do. He remembered the name of General Akbar, Admiral Akbar. It's a trap! That guy. You know him. You've seen the internet meme. You've seen the movie. But if you recall, there was a band called Queen. You know Queen, Bohemian Rhapsody, Fat Bottom Girls, Great band. But the song Bohemian Rhapsody, if you listen to any song by Queen, they're not just verse, chorus songs. They're masterpieces. And I'm not saying that lightly. Seriously, if you don't know about Queen, look them up from the 70s, 80s. Man, they did some crazy shit. But they had this song called Bicycle Race. And it's a little bit different. You know what? Every song of theirs is different. But listen to the song because the lead singer of the band, Freddie Mercury, who passed away, I believe, in the late 80s, early 90s from AIDS, he's talking about he doesn't like Star Wars, which is really weird. But I akin that to today's day and age saying, I don't like Lord of the Rings. You know what I mean? These epic movies. It's like, who doesn't like Star Wars? If you were like a teenager to an adult in the late 70s, early 80s, which is when the Star Wars movies came out, and you're like, I don't like Star Wars, is like today saying, I don't like Lord of the Rings, or so, I don't know, maybe I'm off on that. I don't like Harry Potter. I don't know. That was a crazy analogy off the top of my head. But either way, we talked about that, and Queen's a good band. That was not talked about at all, but I'm talking about it right now. So go ahead and look up the band Queen. I recommend the songs Bohemian Rhapsody, Fat Bottom Girls, and Bicycle Race. I would avoid We Will Rock You, because those are, that's, and We Are the Champions. Those are two songs that pretty much you would hear at any sporting event. Probably made them a lot of money. But just disregard those. I mean, they're good songs, sure, but it's like Jump Around, you know, House of Pain, you know, it's, you've heard it a million times, so just avoid those. Bicycle Race, Queen. Look it up, listen to it, like it, love it, hate it. I don't care. I like it, so. Here is episode 76 of the podcast with Christopher Michael Jensen. Look up the Queen stuff, listen to it when you're done listening to this show right now. I'm giving you love you look every day. Christopher Michael Jensen.
What's going on?
Hello. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing good. I'm just going to make sure you're hot enough. Or are you hot enough? You okay there?
Yes.
He's okay. Well, of course, I'm here with Christopher Michael Jensen. That's a lot of words.
I know. A lot of letters. It's a seven-syllable name.
Yeah. And that's your full, real, legal
yes.
name?
A lot of people call me CMJ for CMJ. Sure, but Christopher Michael Jensen, yes.
I've heard CM Cool J is hard as hell.
Yes.
But we'll get into that eventually here. I want to recap the last few episodes I've been doing. So I was at Soundset. You were there, too.
I was.
I wish we would have crossed paths. You could have signed this fancy board.
Like I said, I was telling you before the show, I saw a lot of your stickers on the ground.
Yeah.
Which I guess... I don't know if that's good that I saw them on the ground, but they were definitely around the event.
Right. Okay.
So you're getting the word out.
Good. Well, that's good. As long as, you know, I don't want people to keep their heads down to the ground, but
right.
you know, I want them to be happy.
Yeah. Exactly.
Keep your head up.
Right.
But as long as you're looking down, you see that.
Yeah.
Thanks for picking them up. You know, I'm sure you weren't out there with like a stick poking them all and picking them up.
I'm sure somebody was working at the event that probably did that.
But. Yeah. Yeah. The sad Indian guy from like the Woodstock deal. I don't know. But did you enjoy Soundset?
Yeah, this is because it started in 08 and I've been to every one so far. My friend Matlis opened on the main stage, so we got there early and caught pretty much a lot of different stuff from start to finish. So it was really fun.
That's cool. That's cool. I did not. The only person or group that I left like the Brims and Tongues booth to see was Cypress Hill.
Oh, weird.
But
yeah, their set was really good.
Yeah, that was cool. I it'd been a while since I'd seen them, but
I've never seen Cypress Hill till that was. I was because I've seen Nas before.
Okay,
I saw him at Rock the Bells like a handful of years ago.
Nice,
but I've never. Or actually, I saw him with Damian Marley.
Okay,
a few years ago at back, but I'd never seen Cypress Hill before, so it was good to finally see them.
How is that? I've never heard that Damian Marley and Nas
like
album.
Their collab album.
Yeah.
What's funny is I think when they did the set I saw, it was like 08 or 09, and it was like a year. I think the album was supposed to come out that year, and that's why they were doing the tour, but it hadn't dropped yet.
Okay.
So they did like a, they each kind of did like their own set, and they did like a joint set, but it was like before the album was even out, so mm-hmm. a lot of people didn't like know the songs, and then it came out a year later. It's cool. I'm not like super into reggae.
Okay.
But like the way he does it, it's kind of like more of like a new school, and then with obviously hip-hop influences and stuff,
right.
So I mean it's a cool album, it's worth checking out.
Have you heard Damian Marley's Welcome to Jamrock album?
I've heard that song,
okay,
but I've never actually heard the whole album.
It's pretty cool, you know, and I'm not a big reggae fan either,
right?
As far as like, I mean, of course I like Bob Marley,
right?
I mean, if you don't like Bob Marley, you're just
right.
You're dumb.
Like I like kind of bits and pieces, but I'm not like a huge just like hip-hop I'll like scour, you know, hip-hop past and present, but like right. Reggae I just kind of selective
because it's there. Definitely like there's a hip-hop influence to what he does,
right?
You know, and it's actually really really good.
Nice.
I enjoy it just, but I'm not like I said a big reggae aficionado
right,
but I mean, I like Snoop Lion's album. You know, the
I haven't actually heard Snoop's reggae album. Yeah.
I mean, you're probably not missing much, you know. He's got a song with Miley Cyrus on there.
Oh,
it's like,
that's an it. You wouldn't. If you were going to make a reggae album, you wouldn't necessarily think that you would just naturally pull Miley Cyrus.
It has no fit on the, I don't know, it's just, it doesn't make sense. But Snoop's been doing like a lot of poppy songs. Like he has a song with Psy that's out now.
Yeah, I saw that. I haven't actually watched that video yet, but I saw on Facebook.
I don't know what the hell he's doing. You know,
it's probably big, Psy.
It is big exposure.
Oh, yeah. Not like Snoop really needs exposure, but.
After 20 years, he's still relevant, but.
Yeah. Because last year he headlined Soundset, which is the only time that's ever happened.
Yeah.
Because he headlined over Atmosphere.
But now, after 20 years, he's still relevant, but I don't think it's necessary for him to do this kind of stuff. You know what I mean? I don't know why he does it. Whatever. He gets paid. He's making money, and I think that's all that matters.
Yeah, I mean, Snoop can kind of do whatever he wants at this point. So.
Yeah, he can. He can. And he doesn't give a shit what I think. Or does he?
I don't know.
Well, on to the next thing here.
You should get Snoop on the podcast.
Yeah, I would love to. Yeah. Doggy Style is one of my top albums of all time. Yeah. Now, this is the beginning of the best summer of your life, which I'm calling this.
Yes.
And I'm talking like nostalgic 80s stuff. And when originally we were talking about doing the show,
right?
I was a majority of this podcast has been talking about albums and, mm-hmm. you know, classic hip-hop albums and occasionally talking about movies.
Right.
But nothing like this. I wanted to talk about like nostalgic 80s movies, but you threw out the idea... of Return of the Jedi.
I mean, it's a nostalgic 80s movie.
It is. It is, but it...
In a different way.
Right.
Probably than I think what you were thinking.
Yeah, I was thinking like the image, the clothes, the,
like
the
Ferris
music.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yeah. But you said Return of the Jedi, and I'm like... And that is my... Out of all the Star Wars movies, anything, Return of the Jedi is my favorite. It's really the culmination of all of them. You know, everything comes together at the end. And, it's just... It's awesome. And the Ewoks. Are you an Ewok fan?
Yeah, I'm just like a Star Wars. I even like the prequels, which I know a lot of people hate on. But right. I'm like a huge Star Wars fan. Like, I got really into those movies, and I think I was like 8 years old.
Okay.
The first time I saw, because I think we bought the trilogy on like VHS.
Mm-hmm.
So this is probably like mid-90s. And then I got like I have like almost 100 Star Wars action figures. And I had like an old Star Wars like encyclopedia. And I used to read some of the books and... yeah, I'm like a huge Star Wars
This is good
dude.
To hear, because we can geek out on this together then. Because not everyone knows about, like, the, you know, AT-AT or the, you know, the...
Just, like, all the names
the
of, like, the... Pretty much anybody that knows, like, the characters in Jabba's Palace, their names, I think then you kind of know if you're, like, a real Star Wars fan or not.
Like, now, here's the thing. I love the movies, but I can't just watch them anytime. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like... If I try, I watched this over the weekend and I started falling asleep. You know what I mean? That's, maybe that's just me getting old. Too,
I haven't watched the movies in a little while.
Yeah.
We had, I know like 5 or 6 years back, we had a party because we wanted to watch all 6 in one 24-hour period, which we did.
Wow.
And there was one girl at the party. She had never seen any of them.
Okay.
So she got like the whole story. And we watched them like from episode 1 to the end. So
that
she
would
got,
be cool to do.
She got to see it like the way it's supposed to be kind of watched.
Right.
The way like
right.
Lucas wanted it. So we, that was fun. It was long.
Yeah.
But we did it.
Damn.
Yeah. No, so I was actually kind of skeptical about when I heard about Disney buying Lucasfilms.
Right.
But then once I heard that they were going to have like the original
cast.
Like Harrison Ford, Mark Hamill, Carrie Fisher and all them like back, I thought that was. Would be exciting, and then when I heard that J.J. Abrams is going to do it, and that Lucas is still going to be like kind of like a consultant, like I feel like they'll do a good job.
It's
with
got
it.
Potential. Yeah,
no, for sure.
As long as it's not, what's the guy's name that's doing the new Ninja Turtles movie?
Oh,
the Transformers movies.
The fuck is his name?
Michael Bay.
Michael Bay. Yeah.
I'm not a big Star Trek fan.
Okay.
I mean, the original series I watched when I was a kid.
Right.
But the new movies, I love the new movies. And J.J. Abrams did, though.
I saw the first Star Trek movie, and I'm just not, like, I don't like anything against Star Wars or Star Trek. Mm-hmm. Like, I used to kind of watch, like, Next Generation a little bit when it was on when I was, like, a kid. But, like, compared to, like, Star Wars, I'm definitely not into it as much. But they definitely try to make the new Star Trek movies, like, more action-packed, I feel, to make them more accessible. But I never saw like the second one that just came out like a year or two ago.
It's cool. It's good.
I mean, J.J. Abrams, I like Cloverfield a lot. Just kind of he does like interesting kind of weird shit, which I think is cool.
Right. Yeah. So it's got potential with him.
I've heard Lost is really good. I've actually never seen that.
Okay. I've never seen it.
I've heard good things about it.
Yeah, he did that, didn't he?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, did you know that Return of the Jedi was originally titled Revenge of the Jedi?
Yes.
Like they even had movie posters made and...
Because then when they did the prequels, they decided to go with Revenge of the Sith because that was...
Revenge.
It fit with the Sith more than it did with the Jedi.
Right, yeah. And Lucas was like, yes, finally, we can use the word revenge.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like Revenge of the Jedi, I mean, it does sound pretty aggressive, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, which...
He wanted like a more dignified demeanor for the Jedi.
So it came out in 1983, re-released in March 97, which... was like perfect because that was right when I was in high school and
I think I was about 8 or 9.
Okay, so that
yeah,
it was like, man, let's go to the theater and watch
10
these.
Or 11 actually, 97. Yeah,
that's cool.
Because yeah, no, I remember I was really excited because like I said, I got them on VHS and then so that was the first time I ever got to actually see them in the theaters.
Okay.
And that's when they did like all the, that was like when they first kind of started doing the special edition of like different effects and
adding
CGI
things.
And stuff and
Yeah,
which I'm also cool with. A lot of people are not.
Some of the things, yeah. They, which one is the one where, is that the first one?
Where Greedo shoots second?
Yeah, they specifically made that obvious that Greedo shot first, not Han.
That one I understand more than like I don't have a problem with like Lucas adding like extra stormtroopers and that some people.
Right, and
I do understand the criticism, but. I don't know. I guess that I'm not bothered by that as much as a lot of people are, but
like the scene where they had a Jabba the Hutt in where Han Solo like stepped over him,
right?
Over his stepped on his tail.
Stepped on his tail. Know? Yeah.
It was too. It seemed like in the originals,
right?
The puppet or whatever they used to Jabba the Hutt was more realistic, or I like that.
They actually, what's funny is they actually, because he's been like really diligent about continuously fixing stuff, so like when they released them on DVD they actually enhanced even that scene, so like it actually looks better in like 2000, I think it was like 2005 version versus the 97 version,
right?
So Jabba even looks more advanced.
Let me tell you what I don't like though.
Okay,
what I don't like is I waited forever for them to come out on Blu-ray,
right?
And I got them, and it doesn't seem like it would be that hard to like make a version, like play the theatrical version with like the new effects, or you know, like before you play the movie on the, like a menu where it's like play the original version when it originally came out.
No, because I know there was a lot of demand for the originals to be released, and I heard that they did release them on DVD, but they were like taken from like a Laserdisc version, so they're still kind of they don't look the greatest, and people wanted like a cleaned up version of like the originals,
right?
But supposedly those are not even in existence anymore, but it's hard, I guess. I guess we'll never know.
Yeah. Did you see episode 1 in 3D?
I did.
Did you?
How
was that?
It was cool. I thought they were going to do all of them in 3D, and I don't know if that just got abandoned because of the Disney stuff. Or
I believe that's what I heard, was that they were going to focus on the new trilogy then, rather than rehashing.
Well, they were supposed to do like the TV show live action that got abandoned, and there's a bunch of stuff that they were trying to be really ambitious about.
Right. But let's focus on what the people want, which is 7, 8, and 9, you know?
Right.
Yeah. But let's kind of recap what really happens in Return of the Jedi. Luke is a Jedi Knight now.
Yes.
Which is badass.
Yes.
You know what's funny is you go back and you watch Star Wars, the first one. Or
A New Hope.
A New Hope, yeah.
Right.
And Mark Hamill's like a kid.
Yeah,
you know, he's young, baby face.
Well, part
of
that was because he got in that like a car accident in real life.
Oh, he did,
and that's why, because he looks more kind of, I guess, ravaged in the second one. And so to explain that, that's why they did like the Wampa attack.
Okay,
is because in real life he got like in a car and he had to get like I think plastic surgery on his face. That's why he looks a little bit older.
Ah,
I don't know if you knew that.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
So he's. I mean, obviously only 3 years older, but
right.
There is a real life reason why he looks. Yeah.
Okay. Did you know? That's cool. So, so he's a Jedi Knight, and in this one, he's returned to his home planet, Tatooine, in an attempt to rescue Han Solo.
Right.
Who's frozen in carbonite.
Right.
When you showed up, I was like, yeah, man, he's going to be so impressed with these ice cube trays. I got these Han Solo frozen ice cube trays.
Mine's
you can't fucking make them out at all.
We got them in the water right now. I think mine, well, at this point, it just looks like just a
big ice chunk.
Chunk in the, yeah. But,
yeah, and there's the scene, of course, this is the infamous movie where Leia's in the bikini, you know, that pleased a lot of nerds.
I have an action figure of that as well.
Yeah. Luke fights the Rancor? Rancor? Mm-hmm. Rancor? How would you say that?
I think it's Rancor.
And he kills it.
Yes.
And the Rancor trainer owner is very sad.
I have that action figure as well. Yeah, sweet. Actually, I have an action figure of the Rancor owner, but not the Rancor itself. Okay.
You know, do you know MC Renz?
Yes, I do.
Okay, because he has a Rancor.
Oh, word.
And I'm sure there's pictures on his Facebook.
Is it one of the original from like the 80s action figures?
I don't know.
Because those are worth a lot of money.
It's like this big.
Because I remember the action figures from like the 70s and 80s, they had like an action figure of almost like everything.
Yeah.
Like I know they. See, like this is how like geeky I am about. Like when they. They started, like, I think, remaking, like, the new line of Star Wars figures in, like, the mid-90s. It's probably when the special edition came out.
Yep.
And then, and so eventually they obviously just started making, like, more and more secondary characters.
Yep.
But originally, I think in the 70s and 80s, like, they had, like, I mean, there's hundreds, like, every single character in Jabba's lair and every single Cantina character. Mm-hmm. And it's, so, yeah, I'm sure they... I mean, obviously, they had a Rancor.
It almost seemed like, so when they re-released them in 97, added more characters just to make more figures, you know?
Right.
Like, there's they have, like, more of the full band in Jabba's Palace.
That was the, what's their name? They're called the, no, I was getting the name of that band confused with the band from the Cantina. So I think the Cantina,
oh, the Cantina band, yeah.
Cantina
yeah,
band was called Figrin Dian and the Nodes, and I think the Jabbas were called Max Rebo.
Max, that sounds right.
He's a keyboard player.
Okay.
I think.
Okay.
Or it's
like the.
I think it's Max Rebo and Droopy McCool or something. Okay. Or I don't
That's
know.
That's a pretty cool name. Though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like the blue guy with the. I could be run. These could be right.
Like kind of like an elephant trunk type. Whatever.
Or maybe Max Rebo was from the Cantina. Okay. Max.
People are going to be very upset. They're going to be, the listeners are going
to
be very upset.
I'm
going
to like Wikipedia all this when I get home and try to keep them all straight. But
what else happens here? The movie's definitely heavy in Chewbacca. Chewbacca is my guy.
Yep.
I love Chewbacca. Peter Mayhew, who hopefully returns. I think he's in.
He is slated to return.
Yeah. Yoda confirms that Darth Vader is Anakin, is Luke's father.
Yep.
And then he dies.
Yes.
Yoda, rest in peace.
Yep.
You know what? Something I loved about, was it episode 2 or 3, where Yoda fights, or is that in episode 1?
In episode 2 is when he first fights the lightsaber.
That was awesome.
What's the old man's name?
Emperor Palpatine, or...
He fights him in episode 3.
Okay.
In episode 2, he fights, I'm like drawing a blank on his name now.
But either way, that was badass. Yeah. I love that. Yeah, that was awesome. Princess Leia in the bikini, I talked about that. The infamous fight scene between Luke, Darth Vader, and Emperor Palpatine.
Yep.
Which was cool. Ewoks. So you were cool with the Ewoks.
I did.
They were kind of like of the originals.
Or I was. I did. I did was cool, yeah. I was cool.
Here's the analogy I was going to make. So the Ewoks of... of this one are kind of like the Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah, I agree because people always hate on Jar Jar Binks, which I don't really have a problem with Jar Jar Binks. And then I was like, people back in the day kind of hated on Ewoks, but like my generation of like younger kids like the Ewoks.
Yeah, I always like the Ewoks.
Like I remember like my little nephews really liked Jar Jar Binks, and they're like little kids watching episode 1. So I feel like there might be a younger generation of kids that's like really into Jar Jar Binks and like the Gungans.
Yep.
Like, we're into the Ewoks.
Yeah, and I think... I didn't mind Jar Jar Binks either, but I think it was a little heavy in episode 1, and thankfully they kind of took the cue and
they cut down dramatically.
Oh, hey, dramatically, yeah.
I think in episode 3, you see him for about 4 seconds, and he doesn't actually speak.
Mm-hmm.
But
and then, so, are you familiar with the Ewoks movies?
Yeah, they had... My friend had, like, a VHS copy... I think there's like two of them.
Yeah, the Ewok's Adventure and the Battle for Endor.
I don't remember. Wasn't like the premise like they crashed like a star fighter jet or something like on the planet and the kids like just like, I don't know, Wicket's in it.
Yep. Yep.
Did they have Wicket? Was he played by
Warwick Davis?
Warwick Davis, yeah. In that too?
Of course. What else would he be doing?
Yeah, I was going to say. I guess, yeah, he kind of lives for that.
I think he probably nominated himself. He's like, I'll do it for free.
That's sort of like Anthony Daniels. He kind of just, he pretty much everything Star Wars related he does. Like, he'll do the voice on cartoons.
Look at how skinny I am. Look, I can fit into this suit.
I saw Star Wars Live a few years ago. They did like the orchestra came to town.
Yeah, yeah.
And Anthony Daniels hosted that. My friend had like floor tickets at like the XL Center. Cool. So that was cool.
That's cool. I missed that. Yeah, Warwick Davis, man. He, the Leprechaun from the Leprechaun movies. Willow. And I didn't know he was in the Harry Potter movies, too. I haven't seen the Harry
and
Potter
he's
movies.
Also, I actually haven't seen it, but he has that show with Ricky Gervais, too. It's called, like, I don't remember the name. It's like some playoff of, like, Little People or something.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the Ewoks, one of the changes they made in the re-release in 97 was that they blinked.
Yes.
They started blinking.
Or that was, I think, in the DVD they did that. That was, like, really recent.
Okay.
Like, a couple... Or the Blu-ray, I think, a couple years ago. That's, like, a
Because I like that edition.
New. Yeah, I think that's cool.
Yeah, because if realistic. You look back... I mean, it's kind of creepy. They're just, like, you know, wide-eyed. They don't do anything.
See, I like how Lucas gets that analytical about, like, he'll make, like, just really subtle things.
Yeah.
What I never understood is why they didn't make Luke's lightsaber blue in the Millennium Falcon when he's, like, first using it with, like, the little orb that Obi-Wan throws up and it's like shooting lasers.
Right.
It's like a white, it just looked like, it doesn't look like a lightsaber to me. Okay. And I feel like they could have very easily just made it blue in post.
Yeah.
I don't, so that's odd to me. Like he'll make Ewoks blink, but he doesn't make the lightsaber blue. So I don't
get it. Somehow it makes sense to him.
Uh-huh.
Let me tell you an issue I had with Return of the Jedi, which, I mean, if you really think about it, so R2-D2 and C-3PO are with them when they go to Endor.
Right.
Right, which is like a forest planet.
Right.
So these robots, and everyone's wearing camo.
Right.
And they got this shiny gold robot.
Right.
And then R2-D2 is rolling around.
The loud beeping forest. Robot.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But, you know, whatever. I mean, just don't think too far into it. Now, my wife... I don't know if you're married or girlfriend or what have you, but...
Neither.
Okay. I find that women normally don't get into Star Wars. So I'm watching Return of the Jedi. This was, I think, on Saturday or Sunday. And I'm like, the speeder bike scene came on. And I'm like, you got to watch this. This is awesome.
Right.
And she's just like, this is it? This is what am I watching here? It's just
That was like cutting edge blue screen at the time.
Yeah.
It was like one of the first movies that really used blue screen.
Yeah. Or green screen.
Or whatever. Yeah. Actually, I think blue screen was first, and then eventually they instituted green screen.
Okay.
Because I think blue screen actually is fairly not used that commonly anymore.
Okay.
But at the time, that was.
Because nobody wears green anymore.
I don't know if it's. I think green screen works better. Like, it's just the neon colors. Like, I think sometimes I use, like, red screen, but I think green screen is the most common now. But.
But
this is a really geeky
interview. I still love the speeder bike scene. And the scene where the Ewok jumps on the speeder bike. And
Yep.
That's cool. What else happens here? It's a trap guy.
Admiral Ackbar.
Ackbar, yeah. Which later became a pretty sweet internet meme.
Yep.
That's really all I got to recap it. You know, there's the movie has made a shit ton of money.
Yeah.
$748 million.
Certainly did.
Damn. Yeah. That's pretty sweet. It's. I have nothing but good things to say about it. Even when R2-D2 and C-3PO are roaming around Endor.
I think for a while that was my favorite Star Wars movie, but now, I don't know, it's hard to say. Like, I like them all. To me, they're kind of like all one big movie.
Yeah.
It's sort of like The Matrix, like, cause I'm like a big Matrix fan too, and I feel like you don't really get the whole thing unless you watch them kind of all together.
It's been a while since I've seen the Matrix movies.
I think I'd probably put Star Wars as like my first favorite kind of like films, and then probably the Matrix.
Okay.
The Matrix, it's a super heady. Like on the DVD of the Matrix, they have like commentaries with like philosophers that like explain all this stuff, and it's just like they have like what's his name? I'm like drawing a blank on his name, but they have like some famous philosophers like. Really delve into it. And then they also have another commentary track by like critics that don't really like the movies.
Okay.
So it's really interesting. They like talk about why they think this is bad, and then the philosophers talk about how, you have to understand this. So it's really cool.
Yeah. Is it the guy that hosts that new show on Fox? That
is not Neil deGrasse Tyson. Although he probably would have insightful things to say.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so you can't even out of the six, you couldn't pick a favorite.
See, I kind of like watching. I feel like if I had to pick, it might even just be A New Hope, just because it was like the first kind of, and they just sort of get the, it's just, they kind of introduce everything, and it's just kind of, it's like super retro nostalgic,
right?
I guess compared, I don't know. A lot of people say that they think Empire Strikes Back is the best because it's like the darkest, and I don't know. But Return of the Jedi, yeah, I really like the whole opening, like 45 minutes with like Jabba and all that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's hard to say. Probably A New Hope or Return of the Jedi.
Are you a fan of the Family Guy?
Oh yeah,
Star Wars.
Yep, I have all those on DVD good. Too. Yep,
all the little quirks that.
Yep.
they mock them, and that's awesome. You got to be able to laugh at it. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what do you think? We take a break here, and we'll get back and just talk all about Christopher Michael Jackson.
Sounds good.
All right, man. I'm here today with Young Bugatti.
YB, baby.
How you doing today?
I'm doing good, you know what I'm saying?
Can you kick a little freestyle for me?
Oh, yes, I can, baby. Step out my house looking fresh and clean. Step in my Bugatti. You know what I mean.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
What?
Didn't I just pick you up at the bus stop?
You did, but I got the new Bugatti Metro Pass. FreeBullshitReport.com.
FreeBullshitReport.com, brought to you by Brims and Tongues Clothing.
Hi, do you have a friend who lies? Do you have someone that you suspect may be lying? Go to www.freebullshitreport.com, where you can download their bullshit credit score.
Brought to you by Brims and Tongues Clothing. Back. We're back.
We are back.
Back from the dead. Hey, I got to take a moment to remind the listeners to head over to brimsandtongues.com. Are you familiar with Brims and Tongues?
That sounds familiar, like I would have heard it on like an ad or something.
Probably. If you've ever listened to my podcast or even looked at me.
Right.
Like the shirt I'm wearing is a Brims and Tongues shirt. It's revolutionary. Revolutionizing the local fashion industry.
Nice.
Worldwide. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Revolutionizing the local fashion industry worldwide.
Like you revolutionize and then it expands worldwide.
Worldwide, right, yeah. Right. Sure, I just made that up. So yeah. Hopefully that takes off. I want credit. Actually, I got some tongues. I got my first set of tongues because they actually make like tongues with a pattern that would match like their hats that they make, you know.
Okay.
So the tongues of your shoe, it's like an insert or an oversert. It goes over the tongue of your shoe.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. But I actually got my first pair. I just don't have... some new shoes to put them in yet. But I should have had them down here so you could see them, you know?
Yeah.
And then you would be like, I must have them. Brimsandtongues.com, fresh from head to toe. They got all that crazy new shit. There's some Aztec designs and stuff that the young kids wear these days.
Uh-huh.
So check it out. But I got a new segment. It's not new. I've been doing it like the last five episodes.
Okay.
It's called the High Five.
Okay.
Okay, and I'm just going to throw five questions at you.
Okay.
And let's see how quick you can answer them.
All right.
They range from personal questions to your knowledge of Minnesota music.
Are these like one-word responses or?
They could be.
Okay.
They could be. This one, have you ever had a Juicy Lucy?
I have.
Okay, see, that's a one-word answer. What is Prince's real name?
I don't know, actually.
Prince Rogers Nelson.
So Prince actually is his
first
name? Prince
is his first name,
oh,
yes.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. I think people would be really upset if they knew.
Roger Nelson just sounds like a country music name
or
something.
It does, doesn't it? What else do we got here? I added some new ones here. If you could be a member of any TV sitcom family, which would it be?
Does it actually be like a family, like an actual family, or like just like the cast? You mean
what cast or
maybe like News Radio?
News Radio.
That was a great show.
Okay, I could see that. What profession have you always admired?
I mean, there's a lot. Being an artist.
Okay.
Just because it's not super lucrative necessarily, but it's, you kind of do what you want to do, follow your dream. Yeah, so it's something that I obviously do myself, so I have to, like, I look up to people that have done it.
Right.
And it's inspiring.
Okay. Last question. What is one thing you wanted as a kid but never got? The Millennium Falcon.
You know, I never actually had the Millennium Falcon like toy. My friend had it at his house.
And that was huge.
Oh, it was. No, yeah. It was like you open it up and there was like a lot of cool stuff inside. Like the attention to detail.
Yeah.
But I can probably give you a better answer than that, though.
Okay.
Man, it was probably...
No pressure. No pressure. You always wanted that hoverboard.
It was usually like video game stuff. Like I usually got the systems that I wanted. I usually just maybe would get them like a year later after they came out.
Okay.
So they'd be like cheaper.
Right.
But I usually got them.
After the price drop.
Like I had a Nintendo, a Super Nintendo, a Nintendo 64.
Are you a Nintendo guy?
Yes. See, I used to be like a huge gamer back in the day. Mm-hmm. And I don't play video games like at all anymore unless they're like old school games. Like I don't think I even asked for a GameCube, but I got one for Christmas, like 10 years ago.
We just know he's going to like this.
Well, right, because I, like I said, I had an N64 and a Super Nintendo. That was like the new system, and like I played that a little bit, but I kind of started getting out of games around that time because I was just kind of getting more into just music and spending more of my time just buying music and stuff. But like I think Nintendo 64 was like the last system I was like super into.
Okay.
But like my favorite system of all time was probably the Super Nintendo.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't have like a, I work in retail, so like I know about like Xbox and PlayStation. Like I'll hear, I know like what games are coming out and stuff, but I'm not like, I don't follow that really.
Okay.
Yeah.
We got a little off topic, but I was curious because we got, we have a Wii U.
Right.
Which is a pretty cool system, but it's so fucking slow to load.
I've played
shit.
The Wii. They kind of revolutionized the whole motion control, which
everybody
kind of copied.
Yeah, I like that. Well, you didn't answer the question.
I know. I'm trying to.
You're dancing around.
I know. man. I never like wanted like really big, fancy stuff that was like out of my.
It's a tough question.
Something that I wanted a kid but never had. Maybe a girlfriend. There you go.
All right. Good answer. Well, Christopher. I got a real problem saying your name. Christopher Michael Jensen. CMJ. CMJ.
Or Chris or Christopher, just call me. Yeah.
I've known about you for a while, but you know your name because it's who uses all three.
See, yeah. It works. It does work
to your advantage, yeah. Even though I can't say it. I finally met you at the Hip Hop for Autism event.
Yep.
I did the show with the podcast episode with Capacity.
Heard it.
So, do you know people with autism or what's your?
Well, the way that whole thing came together, and I think Capacity talked about it a little bit when he was on your show, but because we did a benefit in December of 2012 for suicide prevention. Me and my friend Ashley Seether, we put that together, and then
the Rap for Life.
That was that's become like an ongoing series, but that was the first one we did was back in 2012, and I think about a month after that, when we finally actually like dropped off the money to the organization, I did like a post about that on Facebook, and Capacity saw that, and so he kind of knew that I had been involved with just doing like some benefit work, and so he hit me up and wanted to do a show. For his son's school, which is the Minnesota Autism Center.
Yep.
Because his son has autism. So we kind of, I used some of my resources and he used some of his resources and we just kind of like tag teamed doing a show together. Mm-hmm. And so we did that in 2013 and then we decided we wanted to do it as like an annual thing. So we did another one this year and they've both gone really well. So it's just in general, we've been trying to do like a lot of like benefit work. So we're hoping to do another one of those next year. There's more benefits coming this year that I'm involved in. So
that's cool. I'm glad that people do that. Use your talents and you know the people you know.
Right.
Get some good names in there. Right. Get people in the door for a good cause. You know what I mean? That's really cool. Really cool. So let's talk about you here. Where are you originally from?
I'm from Minneapolis. I was born and raised in Minneapolis. I've lived in Minnesota my whole life. 27. So yeah, I've been.
You don't have to say your age.
I've been here for a while. I guess is the. Yeah, no, I've Been in the state for a while.
Okay, you're, and your parents here? You're from
my
here
parents.
Too?
My dad's grew up in Florida. I think my mom grew up in Kansas. They went to school at like a small college. I think it was in Kansas.
Okay.
It could be.
You think?
Could be wrong. I could be. It was a very small school. It was called. Oh, I'm actually even drawing a blank on the name of it now. But they met in college. I think they moved to Florida for a while and then decided they wanted to move somewhere different when my brother was a baby. So they moved up to Minnesota.
Okay.
And so then that's where I was born. And then, yeah.
They're like, fuck Florida. Let's go to Minnesota.
Uh-huh. So, like, yeah, complete opposite sides of the country from hot to cold.
Yeah.
Bottom to top.
So, are your parents still together?
They are, yes.
Well, that's nice. College sweethearts still together, moving
exactly,
all around the
yep.
country. That's yep. cool. So you have an older brother then?
I do. He's 4 years older than me. He also raps.
Okay. What does he go by?
His MC name is Model Citizen.
Okay.
I was actually just talking to him today. We're trying to do like a collaborative album. He's actually the one that kind of got me into hip hop. Because he got really into hip hop. Like when we were like really young kids, like, you know, I listened to like Criss Cross and like,
I was really
MC Hammer and stuff like that.
Criss Cross.
But I didn't really like get into hip hop until I was like 13.
Okay.
So like 2000. And my brother was 17. And so he kind of started rapping and it was he started more as like sort of like a joke, just kind of like humorous, funny, just kind of rapping like, you know, vulgar gangster shit kind of as like a joke.
Mm-hmm.
But then
we've all been there,
right? But so it was kind of more of just like a funny thing that we did, and I like rapped with him and his friends at like a talent show when I was in eighth grade, and then just kind of got more and more into it over the years. And then at this point I've been rapping for like 14 years, and he's not quite out in the scene like I am anymore, just because he has like twin girls now. He's engaged.
Okay.
So he kind of lives a more at home now.
Right.
But
that happens.
But yeah, I'm trying to get him out there in the scene more, just to kind of do stuff. We've done a handful of shows together.
So the question that now that you said that everyone wants to know,
right?
And I've just deemed that everyone wants to know right. that is he really a model citizen?
No, we'll see. The whole when he came up with that name, it was sort of like a joke because. Not so much anymore these days, but, you know, he'll go to a show, get drunk, you know, just kind of on...
Fuck shit up.
Right. And so he's kind of, I guess, calmed down a little bit. Not like he was ever like a crazy maniac or anything.
Right.
But it was more just sort of a playoff of that. Sort of like a ironic name.
Yeah. Okay. So has he been going by that name for a while?
Well, way back in the day when we were kids, I think the name he came up with, well, again, it was just kind of on some silly shit. I think he used to call himself like Jay Rilla.
Okay.
Like Gorilla. And then and then I think he just went by his own name, and then he just finally just came up with Model Citizen. Okay. So,
are you okay saying his real name?
His real name is Matt Jensen.
Matt Jensen.
Yes.
Matthew
Steven Jensen.
Okay. Did you ever go by anything other than Christopher Michael Jensen?
When I was like 13 or 14, it didn't even make sense. It was just Pent.
Pent.
P-E-N-T. And there's really no story behind that. I don't even know why I really came up with that name. I just... but I pretty much abandoned that by the time I was like 15. So pretty much my whole time we got Christopher Michael Jensen. I just wanted to have like a name that was like...
It doesn't get any realer.
No, I just wanted to use my real name and just so like... I think kind of the thinking behind having my name be just my own name was just so like if I was like going to put it on flyers or advertising or and then even eventually once it was with all like social media, it was just like you see me, you know that I rap, you see me on a flyer, like everything.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody wants to contact me, they know who I am. It's not like, oh, you're so-and-so. I didn't know that. Like if you see Christopher Michael Jensen, you know that's me.
Right.
So
right. There's no mistake in it.
And it. The funny thing is, too, is like when you used to look up Christopher Michael Jensen on Google, like it would just be me, and that was sort of the thinking, too, because there's a lot of Chris Jensens. Until just recently, there was a child molester in New Jersey named Christopher.
That's not good.
Named Christopher Michael Jensen.
Oh, really? Same spelling and everything?
Yeah, and I don't even know why they posted his full name in the article.
Yeah.
So now when you look up my name, you get a lot of me.
I think I'm at the top still, but then right underneath that, you get like this. He's like a Mormon child molester. I don't know. Yeah,
really more
specific. So that gives me more incentive to get more popular so that I can like drive him down the search engine.
Down the search engine, right. Now, you know, there's with all these privacy things, I don't know how in tune you are to like technology these days.
Right.
Google is supposed to be giving the access where you can, like, let's say something like that happens, that Christopher Michael Jensen can say, I want my name removed from the Google search engine, right?
I hope he does that.
Yeah, which would be good for
right.
you.
Right, no, yeah.
But the problem with it is if someone went to Bing or one of these other MSN, whatever, and Google, they get the same results. They get different. They'd find that guy's name.
Right.
Yeah.
No, so. Yeah. I mean, I have ChristopherMichaelJensen.com, so that's in my name. If you look me up on YouTube, you know, you just get me.
No Mormon child porn or anything, right?
Yeah, no, exactly. It's
which is such an odd thing, by the way.
Yeah, like I said, in the article, there's really no reason.
I mean, child porn is just disturbing to begin with and molestation, but Mormon on top of it, it's just, that makes it really weird.
I think I read the article, and there's like a bunch of articles about them online. I think it's just different like local news sites. And okay. I don't know.
What the fuck's wrong with people? I don't know. Jesus Christ. But man, you just had a good break with this when Soundset was here.
Yeah,
Sway from Sway in the Morning. Sway,
Sway Calloway,
Sway
MTV,
Calloway, Sirius XM. Yep. He's got his own show on. Is it Shade 45?
Shade 45 Eminem station. Yeah,
yeah. So he was in town doing these live shows at Fifth Element, and you were there, and
yeah, because he normally broadcasts his show from New York, where he lives. And then because he was hosting Soundset, he hosted Soundset last year and he hosted it again this year. So on Friday, the Friday before Soundset, they announced on like Fifth Element's Facebook page that they were going to broadcast the show and have some people from Soundset on the show. And I just wanted to go just to watch it, check it out. Cause I mean, it's like Sway's like a legend. And I thought that'd be cool just to see like local people on the show and like my friend Dem Atlas on the show. And, so I went down there like really early. Got like 2.5 hours of sleep because it was like the night after my album release show. And then they did the show and they had all the people that were interviewed on the show like spit a verse after, which is what they normally do on that show. And then at the very end, they did like a big cipher. And I think like Fifth Element and Rhymesayers like invited some kind of like a lot of like the like vets of the scene, like Carnage and Joe Horton and Mally and you know, Muja Masai and a lot of those guys, like, just to be in the cypher.
Yeah.
But then at a certain point, I was, like, there, and I kind of was like, it just seemed like you could just kind of get in line because Sway was like, all right, who's next? Who's next?
Who's looking for hyenas?
Right, exactly. That's yep. Yeah. So they kind of did it in, like, three portions. So I think, like, the first portion seemed to kind of be like a lot of, like I said, like the people that, and then there was kind of some more people, the second segment. And then he was like, all right, how many people are left? We kind of raised our hand. He's like, all right, so we'll come back and we'll do you seven and then we'll be done. So I got to kind of be in the last part of the cipher. And I just got like a really good response from Sway and everybody that heard it. So yeah, it was like, that was like a surreal, like after it was over, I was like, I can't even believe like that happened.
Right. I couldn't imagine.
Cause it's like a worldwide audience. And I mean, it's just like Sway, like, he's like, he did like the last like Tupac interview before he died. He was like one of the guys, you know, he pretty much gave like Eminem like his first like public exposure. Like he's interviewed pretty much everybody in hip hop.
Right.
So just to be on his show and to get like props from him was like the craziest, coolest thing ever.
That's cool. So that's cool. And you rocked that over, it was a Nas
for you? It was the Nas. It was the Nas is like beat DJ Premier from the I Am Nas album. Yeah, which was cool. And I was like wearing like an Illmatic shirt and like Sway brought that. So it was just all these like weird coincidences and stuff. And
yeah, the stars were aligned.
I found out too later that day, it was like the 14 year anniversary of the Marshall Mathers LP too, which is like one of the albums that like kind of got me into hip hop when I was like 13. And
okay.
It was like Eminem's radio. It was all these like really weird coincidences. Wow. So it was like, so
the best summer of your life.
Aha, no, right?
I didn't just come up with that for no reason. The best summer of your life. It really is. It really is. There's good things are going to happen this year, this summer.
I'm hoping.
Yeah. Ironically, in the best summer of your life, you just released your CM Cool J album.
I did. That was, like I said, that was the day before that. Sway. just a few weeks ago. We that album I've been working on. Well, my last like solo project I put out in 2012, and I've kind of like in one way or another been working on it since then. The new album, but I kind of had the idea just to maybe do like one-off songs and just drop a song. But then as I did a couple of those, and then I was like, if I'm gonna keep making songs, maybe I should just do an album.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we did. Like I kind of wanted to do something more succinct than like the past couple projects I put out, which were more, I call them mixtapes, but they were like albums because they were like, you know, like all original production. But like with those, I kind of like maxed out the time of a CD and had a bunch of guests, and I kind of wanted to do something, like I said, a little shorter, more succinct, that I could like do the whole album at my release show and stuff like that. So I was going to do 10 songs, and then after I was done recording them, I kind of realized that there was a little bit more I wanted to get into, so I expanded it to 13. I recorded a lot of it at my friend Westy Opus's house, and he is like a crazy dope engineer, does a lot of like really cool stuff, throws a bunch of ideas around. So it didn't take a super long time to record. We recorded most of it kind of towards the end of the year last year, and kind of got done by the new year, and then I just kind of had to get like the art together and get it pressed and stuff. But I feel like it's the best thing that I've ever done, and I've gotten a lot of really good responses from people, so I'm excited to kind of try to push that out there more. We're doing a lot of videos, and yeah, it's just been I'm glad to have it out finally.
So who's on the album itself? Who do you got for guests?
As far as guests, like vocalists, like I said, my friend Dem Atlas is on it, who just signed to Rhymesayers. So he's kind of blowing up, so it was cool to get him on the album. I got my friend Liz Harper, who's like a spoken word artist, rapper, singer.
Is she the one that you do the Rap for Life?
That's benefits? Ashley.
Oh, that's Ashley, okay.
And she's actually on the album too.
Okay.
She actually does spoken word on the album.
Okay.
I got my friend North Star Wisdom, who's like an 18-year-old kid that is like, in my opinion, like one of the dopest MCs in Minnesota. I'm trying to kind of help him get out there more. So he does like a really dope verse on the album. And then my friend Lydia Liza, who's the front woman for Bamba to Lose, is on the album too. She sings on the album. So and then all the songs are different producer. Just a lot of different producers in town I got the chance to work with. So yeah, it's
anyone in particular you wanna that you're looking forward to working with?
A lot of them I've worked with before. There's a handful of people that I had never worked with that I got to get on the album. I don't want to just single one out over the other, but okay. Everybody kind of brought something different to the table. I try to. When I kind of go into albums, I try to like, I don't generally try to have just like one sound or one kind of thing to focus on. Like I try to kind of give like a wide variety in terms of like not even just sounds, but like topics and stuff. So I kind of try to do like some more, you know, hype tracks, some more kind of like subdued tracks. You know, some songs are more sample based. Some songs are just kind of more, it's just all kind of just built from scratch, so it's I don't know, I tried to usually when I put together an album I try to kind of develop like a framework for how the album starts and kind of where the album goes in the middle and how it ends, and kind of try to figure out where all the pieces fit, so it's not just a bunch of random songs thrown together. I try to kind of figure out, so even though I try to do like some kind of like diverse array of things, and then I try to figure out kind of how to piece all that together. And that's kind of when I did like the first 10 songs, I realized that there's stuff missing, and then I could kind of go back and so
put the pieces together.
Exactly.
Yeah. So the title CM Cool J, where are you an LL Cool J fan, or how did that come to be?
I think that was just like that whole just term, I just thought it was kind of like a funny play off of, because everybody calls me CMJ, and so I just thought it was kind of funny off of CM Cool J. I guess it's sort of with that too. I thought it'd be kind of like a catchy, funny title, but then also, just because I'm like a big old school hip hop fan, like the, you know, boom bap era and stuff, and kind of
like I said, the original plan was like kind of like a 10-track album, and mm-hmm. so just sort of a throwback to that era of like kind of shorter albums of like kind of like the Illmatic route, 10 songs, or even like old Cool J albums are probably like 10 or 11 songs.
Right. Speaking of that, so who are your, I guess, influences?
I would, man, when I got into hip-hop, see, it's really weird because my whole, like, history with hip-hop, like, because I got into hip-hop, like, in 2000 when, like, Napster was starting to blow up.
Right.
So, like, it was crazy because my brother, he would just, like, bring home all this hip-hop music and just, we just suddenly had access to get anything.
Right.
And, like, so it was never, like, I just listened to, like, the radio or I just... was only like because like there's some people in town that got into hip hop like through Rhymesayers and like the underground, and mm-hmm. for me it was just always sort of like all that music was kind of like there, so it was just sort of like I was just interested to hear everything that was out there.
Okay.
But that being said, I think one of the first artists that I really got into, because he was blowing up at the time, and then I kind of learned a lot about rapping from him, like would definitely be Eminem.
Okay.
And
I want to say when Napster was really becoming a thing,
right?
The Marshall Mathers LP leaked on Napster,
yeah,
and it was everywhere,
yeah,
before it came out on,
because I think before I ever had a physical copy of that, we just had like all the MP3s of it on okay. our computer, and then because of Napster and then a lot of like the download service, like I just kind of like was able, and because I was like 13-14 and had all this time on my hands, I would just like scour the internet for like every song that Eminem was on, and so I mean I had learned like all those guest spots and just 16 bar verses from everywhere, and mm-hmm. kind of like I would like read his lyrics on, I think that's kind of when I discovered like multi-syllable rhyming, was I was reading like Eminem lyrics on the original Hip Hop Lyric Archive,
okay,
that website, and like I start to kind of see how there were rhymes before the end rhyme, and so I kind of like started seeing that, and so then I started like looking for patterns in all the rap,
mm-hmm.
so then I got into like a lot of like really technical rappers and sort of like got obsessed with just like the technical aspect of rapping. So I was like getting like super into like Big Pun and Pharoah Monch and, you know, a lot of MCs like that.
Yeah.
But I think if I had to pick like my top hip hop artists, like favorites, it'd probably be Eminem, Jay-Z, Wu-Tang, and Outkast. I always feel like that's my top four. And then after that, it sort of gets tricky for me to like pinpoint mm-hmm. who else to put in there. But when I was like in eighth grade, I think it was my last day of eighth grade. My brother bought Wu-Tang, Enter the Wu-Tang 36 Chambers.
Yep.
And I kind of like, my goal was like to try to get every Wu-Tang related album. So I was like buying like Wu-Tang affiliates and
right,
all
yeah,
that shit.
Yeah.
And like
Sons of Man.
Yep. Like Kill a Priest, all that type of stuff.
Yeah.
And I never got even close to getting all of them.
Yeah.
But
that was a lot.
Because we'd hit up like used record stores and. I pretty much spent like all of my teenage years just like we'd go to like cheapo and buy a bunch of used albums. Mm-hmm. We'd download a lot of albums. It was pretty much like my goal just to like seek out like every classic hip hop album, and you'd read all the lists of like the most classic hip hop and just try to like get all that.
That's cool.
And just absorb it all in.
Yeah.
Just
that's
try
history
to,
right there, man.
Yeah.
History. Well, okay, so CM Cool J, you can get that. It's on your Bandcamp, right?
It's on my Bandcamp. You can get it on iTunes, Spotify, Amazon. It's kind of all over the place.
All over the internet.
Yeah.
Anywhere the internet is,
just look
there.
Up ChristopherMichaelJensen.com, yeah. And then that links to all the different, all my different social media sites, and you can find it.
Yep. So on Twitter, you're at Chris Mike Jensen.
Yep.
C-H-R-I-S. And then Facebook.com/ChristopherMichaelJensen.
And then YouTube is /ChristopherMichaelJ, because I don't think I could put the full
man,
name.
Man, you're really messing with people here. I was just kidding.
I know.
Well, hey, thanks for doing the show, man. So the next gig you got, the big thing is the Rap for Life.
Yep.
And this one's a benefit for mental health.
Yep, we're donating 50% of the proceeds will be going to the Neighborhood Involvement Program, which is a Minneapolis-based organization in Uptown, and they do a lot of really cool things. So,
and you got Carnage on the show, Crunchy Kids, yourself, Cherry Darling, Lydia Liza,
and friends. She's been doing like a set with a lot of different people during her set.
Okay, that's cool. And you got some live painting, spoken word.
Yep,
that's cool. So Thursday,
cool
June 26th at the Poorhouse.
Yep, downtown Minneapolis.
Downtown. Downtown. So that's, again, the fourth one you've done of that. How often do you guys do these shows?
We have, I think our original goal was to do them kind of bi-yearly, so two a year. Not sure if we're going to be doing the fifth one this year or not. Mm-hmm. We have to kind of reevaluate things, and there's just a lot of planning and logistics to go into it. But we definitely have a lot of events, a lot of benefits coming up that aren't necessary. Rap for Life is specifically me and Ashley, and then I also do some involved with some other benefits. So there's just a lot of stuff coming up in general. If people like check the my sites online, like I'm always keeping people up to date with that stuff. So.
Right. And can we like your page on Facebook?
Oh, you definitely can.
Okay, we will. We will. All right. Well, hey, thanks for doing the show, man.
Thank you.
Appreciate
I really appreciate you having me on.
I want to remind the listeners to head over to thankyourob.com for the world's largest. I have this written here for the world's largest ball of grass clippings.
Okay.
I don't know why it says that. I probably thought it was funny, so I typed it. But yeah, there's a podcast links where you can listen to past episodes of the show here. I'm trying to get Carnage on. He's just trying to align schedules to make that work. But I've had Slim Chance of Crunchy Kids on a couple times.
Yep.
Good guy. Actually, we talked about Crisscross.
Oh, nice.
At Psycho Susie's. Psycho Susie's.
Yeah.
Is that right? Yeah. We met up there and we talked about Crisscross. It was right after Mac Daddy passed away.
Oh, that's right. Yep. Yeah.
Sad. Sad.
He rapped in the cypher too on Sway. He was the first one to go.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. Kilt it. K-I-L-T.
Yeah, everybody brought it for the cypher.
Yeah. That was very cool.
No one fucked it up.
Yeah. Minneapolis was represented. Or Twin Cities, I should say. Yeah. Twin Cities. Yeah. I also do graphic design work. So if you go to thankyourob.com, there's a link to iDefine Design. Right now, I'm currently working on the Dispute One. Do you know Dispute One?
Yes.
Yeah.
I did a show with him a year or two ago. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, working on some stuff with him. Always working with Brims and Tongues on stuff. Amber Ace Cleveland. Shout out to Amber Ace Cleveland. She's working on this For the Love Hip Hop show.
I've worked with her as well.
Yeah. And then Remo Williams and Mike the Martyr got an album they're doing.
Oh, word.
And I'm doing the album artwork. It's looking good. Looking sharp.
Nice.
So good things coming along there. Actually, Capacity Early Birds have a project. I'm doing the digital album.
Just never-ending dope music in Minneapolis.
Yeah, this is true. This is true. And then thankyourob.com also has a direct link to Brims and Tongues in case you have trouble spelling it. And I'll throw a link in there for in the post for this podcast to ChristopherMichaelJensen.com.
That would be awesome.
I just said it, and I didn't fuck it up. And then there's a link to the Fuzz Talk Radio. Fuzz Talk Radio is an online radio station down in Mankato. They replay episodes of the podcast. Love those guys. Much love to everybody. Much love to you, sir.
It's a supportive town. We got a lot of a lot of people helping each other out, which is one of the big things with a lot of the benefits and just things that we do. Like, that's one of the things that I really am trying to like foster more of in the city, is just a lot of more community building and stuff, because I feel like we're really blessed in this city to have what we have. Mm-hmm. As opposed to like a lot of other parts of the country. So I feel like, I don't know, whenever I see like drama or anything in the city, I feel like that's not what it's about, and we have a lot more good going for us than bad, so we should try to maximize as much of the good stuff as possible.
Yeah,
so.
I agree. Some people say that there is, you know, people draw lines and don't associate with other people, but there's just so much.
Yeah, fuck that. I try to like just get as many people like in the same
room at the
same
time.
Exactly.
Yeah. I agree. That's why I do the podcast. You know, there's so much talent here, and I just want to show exposure.
You're a good man, Rob.
Oh, get you.
Thank
get out.
You, Rob.
You get out. You get out. Well, any last words there?
I hope to everybody check out my new album, CM Cool J. Come out to Rap for Life 4 on June 26th. And yeah, there's a lot of stuff on the way. And definitely hit me up on social media. Always trying to meet new people and work with people. So yeah, thanks again.
Meet him. Shake his hand online.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to end it with handshakes and high fives.
And e-hugs.
Who can it be knocking at my door? childhood friend. Here they come. Those feelings again. Who can it be now? 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 Is it the men come to take me away? Why do they follow me? It's not the future that I can see. It's just my fantasy.